Welcome back to Tome of Tales. Set in the Cantus Expanse, a long-running 5th edition D&D campaign, this episode is an origin story, continuing directly after The Lost Girl, before the wilds. This episode is called The Lost Girl, Woods Darker Than Night. Merla was unaware of the shift in the woods, how the dark forms of the trees grew larger, higher, how the grass would give a puff of stimulating fumes with every step of her light feet. To her, everything was large, and the farther she walked, the more the thumping of her little heart grew louder to her own ears, but eventually, she lost the haunting melody of the song she wished to find. Looking back, all she saw were gnarled trees, their twisted branches reaching out towards her. In warding or wanting, she couldn't tell.
I want to go home.
The eagerness she had at finding the singing voice was gone, replaced with a feeling that left her cold, her throat tight. A shaking started in her hands and feet, working its way up her arms and short legs to her stomach, where it rattled her bones, making tears pool in her eyes as she looked around, realizing she was lost. Merla looked up, topaz blue eyes eager to see the night sky, the moon, any form of light. But it was full dark, and there were no stars that she could see, the canopy overhead too dense to look past.
Mama, I'm scared.
She sniffled as the tears fell down her rosy cheeks. Too scared to move, she crouched down where she was and started rocking back and forth, her small voice a chant.
Wake up, wake up, wake up. It's just a dream, a horrible dream. Wake up, wake up.
The trees shifted and groaned, their branches making resounding, hollow cracks that froze her very blood. She felt something brush her back and jumped up, turning around, but all Merla could see was the vague shapes of what her terrified mind tried to tell her were normal trees. Her eyes were not meant for the deep dark of the woods. Nearly convulsing with fear, like a rabbit before the wolf, Merla almost missed seeing the snaking branches and vines curling towards her. It was as she looked down.
I've got dirt on my skirts again. Mama's gonna be upset about that.
She became aware of the cuts she had gotten from walking through the underbrush as they started to sting. Another bone-deep crack echoed from in front of her somewhere in the dark. Merla's rabbit heart sped up, wanting to leap out of her chest, pushing her to run, to flee. She looked in the direction of the sound instead, though, squinting, wanting to see, fearing what she might. It was when they were practically in front of her, she saw it. What she had thought were merely branches were actually hands, not of flesh, but of bark, sharp claws slashing at the air. So frightened was she that even though her mind said to run, 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 her feet were rooted in place. Then a strong gust of wind blew past her, and Merla felt her head clear for a moment, the soft sound of a melody carried in it. Just as the bony bark hands of whatever creature was coming towards her was about to enfold her in its razor-sharp embrace, she ducked, pirouetted, and started to run. Her tiny legs shook as she ran, causing her to trip over gnarled roots and jagged rocks. But Merla ran as fast and as far as her child legs could take her, panting with the effort and the exhaustion she felt in her bones. The heady scent of the flora kicking up in higher puffs had her gulping at the air. She couldn't tell what direction she ran in. Was it towards home or farther into the forest? But the cracking sound of shifting trees seemed farther away behind her, so she started to slow down. All at once, the adrenaline left her. Collapsing down on hands and knees on the soft soil, fingers digging into the cold, damp earth, Merla gulped down mouthfuls of sweet-tasting air, trying to calm herself.
Mama, someone, anyone, please find me.
A twig snaps, and Merla looks up, her frightened eyes suddenly blinded by a soft orb of light floating in front of her. She brings a soil-stained hand up to block the light hurting her eyes, letting out a soft whimper. A second orb of light blooms into existence, and Merla can see the shape of a tall woman with an elegant walking staff, her long mud-brown hair falling past her waist. The woman looks down her nose at the child for a moment before a smile cuts across her face.
What is a little bird like you doing in such a dark and dangerous woods?
Asks a sweet voice. The woman extends a hand down to the simpering child.
I am lost.
Merla whimpered, tears pricking at her blue eyes. She looks up at what she now sees as a very beautiful woman. The brown tresses of the woman's hair are the color of milk chocolate, her skin creamy and unblemished. Merla reaches forward to take the woman's hand.
It is easy to get lost in these woods.
The woman cooed, grasping onto Merla's tiny, soft hand, her grip a little too tight. She helps Merla up, and then quickly lets go, hand going back to her staff, manicured nails tapping on the wood.
If you fall, you may never get up again. That's why you must stay on your feet, little bird.
She smiles again, showing more of her teeth as she gestures at the aromatized air close to the forest floor.
Thank you, m'lady.
Merla mumbles, attempting a small curtsy. She wasn't sure why she felt the compulsion to do so, but it made the beautiful woman's smile widen hungrily. Merla quickly looked away to try to see past the two balls of light, but it was so dark she couldn't see beyond the soft glow.
Would you be able to help me?
Merla pleaded in a small voice. She sniffled as she looks back at the cruelly beautiful woman. Unexpected and unbidden, cold dread closes her throat again. Merla looks away, down to her dirt-stained hands, trying to speak through the lump in her throat.
I need to get back home, but I don't...
A sob escapes past her lips and she feels like she is on the brink of losing her mind.
Hush now, little bird.
The woman says, seeming to swoop down upon Merla. The child nearly stumbles back to fall on her rump, only just managing to stay on her feet. The woman's hand reaches out and strokes her hair, and once again Merla feels the need to run, run, run. But something was happening to her mind. Her thoughts were becoming soft, fuzzy around the edges, and she suddenly felt very tired.
Mother Maeve will take good care of you,
the woman said, waving her hand, and a twisting pattern of hypnotic colors dances across Merla's vision. The tension in her legs leaves in an instant, and she is suddenly spellbound by the mesmerizing colors. Mother Maeve does a slow circle around Merla, stroking her hair, poking and prodding her flesh. This elicits a foul cackle of delight that does not match the woman's elegant visage. When Mother Maeve comes back around, she cocks her head to the side, squinting her eyes. She intones, something catching her eye. Merla starts to tremble, but she is still unable to move or look away from the colors dancing in front of her. As Mother Maeve leans in close, Merla sees the beautiful, flawless skin ripple and shift, and she starts to cry silent tears. She hears Mother Maeve sniff her by her cheeks, neck, and across her small chest. A sly grin breaks across the beautiful face. She reaches out, and Merla sees the perfectly manicured fingernails are now long talons. One of them cuts across her skin, parting it like butter, and the spell breaks. Merla's legs fold underneath her, and her tiny hand clutches at her now bleeding arm. Mother Maeve's dark, slimy tongue licks at her fingers as she tastes the blood on them. With growing horror, Merla tries to scramble away on her hands and knees, panicking, making her not think about which direction to flee to, but only that she must get away. Now, 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 now! Her tiny hands are scrambling, reaching forward when she feels her whole body freeze. The scream for help that was bubbling up from her throat, stopping on the precipice. Deliberately slow steps and the brush of cloth against the damp earth come up beside her. Merla's panicked eyes dart left and right, but a sprinkling of dust from the woman's hand with some unknown words, and her eyes go dead, the light within gone out. Mother Maeve's grin is all pointed teeth as she looks down at the small, helpless child.
Yes, Mother Maeve will take very good care of you.
The Fae bends over the prone form of Merla, tying a leather cord to her ankle, muttering more words of power as she does. When she stands up, the child's body rises too and is carried aloft, ahead of her, guided by Mother Maeve, who walks farther into the darker parts of the forest. Time passes. Merla's young mind breaks out of unconsciousness slowly, her thoughts muddled and her limbs too heavy to move. Part of her knows she should be scared, that she would be kicking and screaming, if she only could. But there is an enchanted calm forced upon her that prevents Merla from feeling anything. The dark fae woman takes the mortal child back to her encampment, where other unseelie fae lay in wait. As Mother Maeve approaches, they all swarm around Merla, hands reaching out to touch her, to taste her.
You finally turned up.
Great. Food's here. I'm starving.
Merla feels them touching her, lifting her clothes away.
Help me.
Is that all you brought with you?
A hand clasps her leg, the rough skin leaving marks on her tender flesh.
Somebody!
It is so small! That can barely feed one of us!
Something drips onto her leg as a warm, hot mouth comes closer to her foot.
Please!
Silence!
Mother Maeve's voice rings out across the camp. The Fae pushing towards Merla stop moving, going very still.
I bring back more than just a meal.
She gestures to Merla's floating body.
This one has a magic to her. something we can use.
Mother Maeve looks at those gathered around, and they draw in closer to her, expectant, hungry for something other than sustenance.
Something that will give that silly bitch queen something to be frightened of.
The Fae chitter with excitement.
Prepare my tools.
Mother Maeve shouts, and there's a flurry of activity.
Let this be the night to mark the beginning of the end of the warrior queen's reign.
The Fae let out a blood-curdling cry of excitement.
Someone help me!
Pain, darkness, the bitter taste of metal on her tongue.
I'm scared!
Merla was lost in the deepest, darkest night for an eternity, alone. Time passes.
Please.
There were rituals and spells, ancient magics unknown to a child of pottery makers. Merla was kept docile, charmed, awake and aware, yet unable to call for help.
Leave me alone in the dark.
Time passes. Mother Maeve was poring over an ancient tome in preparation for yet another ritual. Merla, kept in her suspended state, did not see how it happened, only that the unseelie Fae were taken unawares. Something akin to a battle cry, a call, far back in the deep dark woods made all in the encampment freeze. Then a flurry of activity, with screeching and shouts as they realized their ambushers were already beside them. As sudden as the call, a brilliant warm light pierced through the trees, and all the twisted Fae started fleeing from its radiance. Royal blues, radiant reds, and vibrant purples sang across the camp in calls to one another as blades danced and arrows flew. Merla's dead glazed eyes saw only vague shapes and vibrant colors, the enchantments keeping her subdued. Part of her thanked her lucky stars that she couldn't see. Maybe fortune would favor her one more time, with a swift end to this hell she was in.
Let the stream of shadows end.
She escapes, cries one of the voices. It speaks the same as Mother Maeve did, but with a musicality that breaks Merla's heart. Shall we give chase?
No,
came the reply. This voice was calmer, a still wood on a summer's day.
We have what we came for.
Merla feels warmth on her face from the radiant light of the sun for the first time in forever. And though her eyes cannot see them, she feels these people are looking at her.
Nightmare, please, let me wake. Else I fear my heart shall break.
Delicate tears fall from glazed blue eyes, down sunken, hollow cheeks. The Green Knight has seen the horrors of the darker courts, walked the battlefield strewn with the cruel savagery that is a trademark of the unseelie Fae countless times. But when he looks upon the child, suspended in the white ash tree, holly branches viciously wrapped around her arms, legs, and torso, their sharp leaves scraping her skin. A thorny crown of hawthorn hung askew on her head, from which vines of ivy drape around her, down to the forest floor in a sick parody of a maypole. He knows he has seen something beyond cruel, beyond wicked.
The enchanter, the illusionist, the ruler, and the equalizer. Ill omens all.
His insectoid-like visor hides his expression, but the Eladrin by his side sees the tension in the green knight. The two step forward and delicately start to free the presumed Fey child from her bindings. She is barely there, a wisp of air that could be blown away in the breeze. A sylph has more substance than this pitiful creature. Sir, she is mortal. Why would... The Eladrin starts, but the Green Knight cuts him off.
Our queen commanded us to come here.
The Green Knight says, and the Eladrin looks at him, confused.
Find that which has been lost, and we have.
He glances down at the tiny form he carries in his arms, sees all the cuts, bruises, the way her skin hangs sallow on her as if more than her life's blood has been taken from her. He wants to hold her closer, to protect her for reasons he cannot fathom, but he makes himself show none of it. Bringing his lips close to the child's forehead, rose petals fall from his shoulders as his one hand draws out a somatic shape against her back.
Sleep.
He whispers the soft word of enchantment. Merla fell into true sleep for the first time in what was probably days, weeks, or just merely hours. Time passes. This origin story was called The Lost Girl, Woods Darker Than Night. Set in the Cantus Expanse, a long-running 5th edition D&D campaign run by the London RPG community. Mother Maeve was voiced by Jess Smough Ray. The Green Knight was voiced by Gwydion Evans. Thank you for listening. Tune in again for the next chapter in Merla's story.